Please turn with me with the Word of God to the Epistle to the Philippians. And as you're turning there, let me thank the session for the privilege to bring God's Word to you this morning. Philippians chapter 4. Be reading from verse 2 through verse 7. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord and our God, we do thank you again for your word. May it be a light to our path. Help us, O Lord, as we make our way to be with you in heaven, to be those who do not live by our own wisdom, that we do not seek after you, O Lord, according to our own strength. We know what folly that would be. Help us, O Lord, to hide your word in our hearts. Help us, O Lord, to be a people of word. Help us, O Lord, to meditate upon your word day and night. Help us, O Lord, to teach your word to our children. And help us, O Lord, at the center to see Jesus Christ as the living word, to see him as the message of the Bible. And we do pray now, O Lord, that your word and spirit would have its work upon our hearts, that we might behold Christ, that one who is the author and perfecter of our salvation. And it's in his name we do pray. Amen. This is the word of God. Please give it your full attention. Reading from verse 2 of chapter 4. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May God bless the reading of his word. These verses that we have just read from Philippians 4 are some of the most beloved verses in all of Paul's letters, and that for good reason. In view is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 4, we're to rejoice in the Lord always. Then we have our relationship with others in verse 5. Let your reasonableness or gentleness be made known to all. But this morning, I would like for us to start with the sixth verse, which we could say brings into view our relationship with ourselves. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So here are two commands in this sixth verse that are so essential to living the Christian life. First, not to be anxious about anything. And then secondly, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we're to make our requests known unto God. Simple commands. Straightforward commands. But how we struggle. We're an anxious people. We worry about so much. We worry about things that we desperately want to hold on to, whether it's possessions or reputation or whatever it might be. We want to hold on to it and we worry. But then we also worry about what we lack. We might lack money. We might lack security. We might lack success. The list is endless in either direction. But let me say, or at least suggest to you, that what we share is that when we worry and when we're filled with anxiety, what we share is a disruption of our joy. Worry disrupts our joy in this life, but worry also disrupts our peace in this life. So in this first command, in which we're to look to the Lord and trust in Him and not to worry, we so often worry, and the results are disruption of joy and peace. And the same thing is true in the second command in regard to prayer. And here, I guess we could start by saying that we don't pray as we should. And I say this not to embarrass your pastor, but the richness of his prayers this morning. It's a man who prays. The richness of his heart for the Lord and his heart for you. But we all struggle. We all struggle in not praying as we should. We're well-intentioned. We know that we should pray, just like we know we shouldn't worry. But what happens is this life is so busy, and before we know it, our heads are on the pillow, and we haven't prayed as we should. And yet, we can't get away from the importance of prayer in the New Testament. We can't get away from the importance of prayer in the epistles that Paul writes. Paul tells the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. He tells the Colossians to devote yourselves to prayer. He tells Timothy to pray regularly for all people. Now, why is Paul doing this? Why is he making this emphasis upon prayer? Because he knows that it brings glory to the living God. But he also knows that is a means of grace. It's a means by which our communion with the risen Christ is deepened in this life. We simply cannot live the life of faith apart from being joined to our Savior. And joy, and it impacts peace. For when it comes to living the Christian life, we are those who must look by faith to the one who has died, more than that, to the one who was raised in the right hand of God, interceding for us. That's what we read in Romans chapter 8. And the way that we do this is by praying. But as we're being told here in Philippians 4:6, it's not just praying, it's praying with thanksgiving. It is prayer and supplication with thanksgiving that our requests are to be made known to God. And this is a common theme also in the Pauline letters. We said earlier, Paul's admonitions to prayer in other places. In Colossians 4, when he says, devote yourselves to prayer, his immediate words after it, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. When he tells Timothy to pray regularly for all peoples, he also immediately adds that Timothy's to make thanksgivings for all peoples. When he tells the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing, he immediately adds in the next verse, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, why is he adding or connecting prayer with thanksgiving? Well, for one thing, Paul knows that When we are thankful to who our God is and what he has done, when that comes to expression in prayer, it keeps our life from complaint and murmuring. It keeps our prayers and our life free from complaint and murmuring. And this is very instructive, because if anyone could be upset at this, in writing as Paul is here, it would be Paul in regard to he's doing this in chains. He's falsely imprisoned. He's suffering in a way that we would feel is unjust, and rightfully so. And yet he's urging the Philippians to give thanks in prayer at all times. He's not filled with sourness. He's not blaming others. He's not stewing with anger and bitterness. Rather, he's thanking the Lord in prayer. That's what he tells the Philippians that in the opening of the epistle, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. And he continues throughout the epistle to show how much he is thanking God for them. So Paul prays with thanksgiving. He urges those who receive his letters to pray with thanksgiving. And that is because he does know that he owes everything to the living God, who God is and what he has done for him. Because Paul knows that he couldn't save himself. He couldn't remove his sin before God. So we kind of inverted this a little bit. And we started in verse 6. And we were talking about the relationship that we have with ourselves in regard to these commands not to be anxious and to pray with thanksgiving. But part of this is because Paul knows, in regard to his relationship with the living God, his relationship with Jesus Christ, that he owes everything to his Lord. And that's why in verse 4, he cries out, or to rejoice in the Lord always. When you know who you are, you know what your sins deserve, and you know what Jesus Christ has done for you, how can you not rejoice in the Lord always? And that then leads into verse 5 of our relationship with others. We're to let our gentleness be made known to all. So if you know that it's Jesus Christ who has first loved you and sought you out, and it's Jesus Christ who went to the cross and died for your sins, then how can you not be patient and loving with others? Because that is what God and what Christ, that is how he has been patient with you. And so that's what's happening here. And also one thing to add, those who know what Jesus Christ has done for them, there's a joy there. And that does pervade to our relationship with others. Joyless people are not gentle people. Someone who is devoid of joy in their own life is not going to be reasonable with others. But here, according to the Apostle Paul, the Christian can rejoice in the Lord, and the Christian can be gentle with others. And then he adds, this is because the Lord is at hand. Now, this type of language, when we read the Lord is at hand in the Bible, is rightly sobering. Because how can a creature stand in the presence of the living God? But there's also a richness to this phrase, and we can think of it in terms of something new that's happened in the history of redemption. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 6. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. salvation has brought a new day of confidence and a new day of prayer. This is how the writer to the Hebrews puts it. We have in Hebrews 4, we have a high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And because he's a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, a high priest who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin, the writer of Hebrews tells us then, let us then draw near to the throne of grace with confidence, that we might receive mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Jesus Christ puts it himself this way in the Sermon on the Mount. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. There's this new day of confidence because God the Father hears his Son interceding for us. This is what Jesus says in John 11. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I say this in count of the people standing around that you may believe that you sent me. This new day of salvation, this new day of confidence, this new day of prayer, this new day of thanksgiving is because what has happened in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the pouring out of his Spirit at Pentecost. That's what's going on. This great reality is such then that Jesus Christ is near and his return is always at hand. And so as we wait for Jesus to return, we are to pray for his coming with thanksgiving in our hearts that he's delivered us from the wrath to come. Let me fill this out for you a little bit more, and hopefully in praying with thanksgiving does bring peace to us. But here's the thing from Scripture in the New Testament. It doesn't create peace. It's a matter of you using. It's a matter of you participating what you already have in Jesus Christ. You see, you already have peace in Jesus Christ. For it is Jesus Christ who has entered into heaven on your behalf, where now in the presence of God, he intercedes. That's why we have peace with God. It is because Jesus Christ has died for our sins and risen, intercedes for us in the presence of God. To put it in 1 John 2 language, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's why we have peace with God. But having entered into that peace through faith in Jesus Christ, what a gift it is. Look at this imagery here. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's as if this is a garrison of peace. It's as if a garrison that is guarding your hearts. But it's also that, we're told in these verses, that it's a garrison of heaven. Now, why do I say that? It's because of that phrase, that this peace of God surpasses all understanding. Now, we hear that phrase in Scripture, and it comforts us, but do we really understand what it's saying? It's saying that this peace cannot be explained away by anything in this creation. This peace cannot be explained away by the wisdom of the world. This peace is beyond human comprehension. This peace is supernatural. This peace is the gift of God. This peace is the gift of the God of heaven. Verse 9. For it is the God of peace who dwells in heaven and is bringing us to be with him. And what is heaven, friends? Heaven is that realm where everyone rejoices always, because heaven is that realm where there's no more sin and death and suffering. Heaven is that realm where there's no anxiety, because the fall is no more in heaven. There's no more scarcity. There's no more death. Again, no more suffering. Heaven is that realm in which there is perfect peace and no anxiety. Heaven is that realm in which there is thanksgiving perpetually. There is praise and rejoicing and thanksgiving to God perpetually. Heaven is the realm of perfect peace, for heaven is the realm of the God of peace. And that is what is ours now in Jesus Christ, even as we look forward to that in full. This is where our home is. It's in heaven. This is where our citizenship is. This is what Paul is telling us here at the end of the third chapter of Philippians 3, Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that in has been raised for your justification. And by the gift of the Holy Spirit, you partake of that heavenly realm even now. This peace is yours. Do you know what treasure that is? We live in a world that is losing its mind. We live in a society that is crumbling around us. We live in such absurdities from our government leaders and others that at times we just wonder not only how we're going to make it, but how our children are going to make it, or how others are going to make it. Friends, Jesus Christ reigns, and he is with you. And there is a garrison of peace that is guarding your hearts as you make a pilgrimage to be with him in heaven. And part of the way in which you cultivate that communion is by coming to gather together to worship the Lord. Where else would you want to be than in the presence of the risen Christ with his people, hearing the word of God proclaimed, singing his praises, and coming to him in prayer? But you also, as you leave this place, you are being called to pray, to cultivate that communion. And as you cultivate that communion through prayer with thanksgiving, you're to rejoice in what Jesus Christ has done for you. This is his perfect plan of salvation. And you are to be gentle with others. Share with them the good news concerning Jesus Christ. Don't let frustration and anger overwhelm you that you cannot be gentle with others. Because Jesus Christ has been gentle with you. And as you do that, then, have that be that which marks this church. A Christ-centeredness whose hope is in heaven, but very concretely, practically, is seen in love of others, and seen in gentleness with others, and is seen with prayer for others, even as you are rejoicing in the Lord. Now, one last thing. And perhaps I should have started here. We did read the verses on why this appeal is coming. There's two ladies in the church, and boy, are they fighting. They are fighting so fiercely. They can't get along. Well, what should these women do? Well, they shouldn't go on murmuring and complaining. What they should do is pray. What they should do is pray for the other person. Which they should do is pray for the other person with thanksgiving. Or in the words of Philippians 2, they should have the same attitude in them that was in Christ Jesus. For who is that one who always prays for us? It's Jesus. And who is the one who always gives thanks to the Father for us? It is Jesus. Jesus is the one who prays with thanksgiving without ceasing. Jesus is the one who gives thanks to God above for all things. Paul practiced what he preaches, but the true source of Christian living is Jesus Christ himself. And that's what Paul is after with these admonitions in Philippians 4. The commands here are unto the end of finding our life in Christ and not in this world. The commands here are connected to know who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. That we can't save ourselves. That all our righteousness is but filthy rags. That what our sins deserve is the eternal wrath and curse of God. But what Jesus Christ, the sinless, has done, he has taken our sins and nailed them to the tree. We're depraved, we're crooked. But there is one who is straight, and in him we have life. He's cleansed us from our sin by laying down his life and the salvation that we have in him is all of grace. And so made to love our God, to worship our God. And when we do that and we love others, that brings us more fulfillment than anything else in this life. And all those things that stress us out, it's not that they get removed, but we see them in the proper light. We see them in the light of what this life is all about. And we see it in the proper light of how the Lord is with us. And we are so blessed in that. My prayer for you is that this church here at Providence Church would be known as a praying church. You can never underestimate the power of that. That you are known as a praying church. That you are looking to your Lord in all things, and you're trusting in him and trusting in your Savior. And as you do so, you are praying with thanksgiving in your hearts, for you know just how blessed you are. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we do thank you for your mercy and grace to us, we who are sinners. We know, O Lord, how we fail you, how we do not come to you as we should in prayer, but also, Lord, how we don't trust you as we should. You are the sovereign God. You're the creator of all things. You have determined all things from beginning to end. we stand so humbled, O Lord, with the knowledge that you have loved us from all eternity, and you have shown your love to us by sending your Son to die for our sins, and you promise to love us for all eternity. We're so thankful, O Lord, for the richness of your love, of your mercy, of your kindness to us. Help us with hearts that have been changed by your word and your spirit to follow after you in love. Help us, O Lord, to die to sin and to live more and more to righteousness. And help us, O Lord, to know from your word just the glorious reality of the new day of creation that we have entered through the work of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Spirit. Help us, O Lord, not to be jealous of this world. Help us, O Lord, not to be undone by this world. For, O Lord, we know that you have triumphed over this world and that you are bringing all things to completion. And so we do pray, O Lord, as we seek after you in this life, that our prayer would be that Jesus, oh, that you would come quickly. For we do look forward to that day in heaven in our resurrection bodies in which we will dine with you forever and we will praise your name forever and that we will rejoice in you forever. This we pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen.